This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Ted and Wendy Campo, and we're pitch hitting today for Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from the Spirit of Prophecy, who are in a state of recovery from attack from the enemy. But they have the victory, and we have the victory as well. So we'll be here sharing with you for the next hour or so. And Babe, why don't you talk about how they can, the folks can get in touch with the ministry at Spirit of Prophecy.
Okay, the name of this program is Raising the Standard. It's every Saturday from 12 to 1 on WCNO Radio 89.9 and also on the internet. So you can always get this program. Our phone number is 772-285-7007. And Spirit of Prophecy Ministries is located in Stuart, Florida.
So, today we're going to be talking to you about a festival of the Lord called Shavuot, and we're going to show you the lead-in to the Feast of Pentecost, which we as believers celebrate every time this time of the year. We're going to investigate this particular festival, which is the fourth appointed time, and is called the Feast of Weeks. In this session, we're going to make comparison between Shavuot and Pentecost, and in the next 2 weeks, we're going to go further in depth. So even as the title assigned to this festival reveals, that there are a certain number of days that will be counted leading up to this profound appointment with God, and I'm going to read from the scriptures right now regarding this particular festival, and it is found in Leviticus 23, verse 15 through 22. "And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock and two rams. And they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all of your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. They shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, before I turn this back to Wendy, I just want to focus on one thing here. In verse 21, God is speaking directly to his people Israel, but he's speaking to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we as believers get a little confused. We talk about Old Testament as though it were old. Well, the Old Testament is the Old Covenant, but it is as important and significant as any one of the Gospels, any one of the epistles from Paul, even unto the book of Revelation. And so we need to pay, I think, more close attention to the Old Covenant and to the things that God has spoken, particularly when God speaks and he says, regarding this particular festival of the Lord, it's not a Jewish festival, it is a festival of the Lord. And he says, it shall be a statute forever in all of your dwellings throughout your generations. Understand, he doesn't say it shall be a statute for all of your Jewish dwellings. And he says throughout all of your generations. That's for a long time. That's for your children and your children's children as well. God says it shall be a statute forever. We need to heed those words. We need to believe those words. And I'm going to go one step further. As a believer, I believe that we need to heed those words, and we need to do what God tells us to do. Now, what is that he tells us to do, hon?
Okay, these three harvest festivals revealed in the Word of God tells us that these were commandments. Shalosh Regalim, three pilgrim festivals that were in the future, when the temple was built, the men would walk by foot. It means by foot. They would go to Jerusalem, and that they would bring their offerings to the temple. First fruits is the spring barley festival in Nisan 17. Nisan 17 in the future would be when Yeshua rose from the grave. This is very important. The festival of weeks, or Shavuot, is the early summer wheat festival. It's Sivan 5, which is actually Erev Shavuot. The first full day of Shavuot is Sivan 6 on Sunday. And then we have the Festival of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Booths. It's B-O-O, T like in Tom, H like in Harry, S like in Sam. That's when they would build sukkahs. And that's Tishri 15 through the 22nd. The Festival of Weeks, or Shavuot, is when the children of Israel received the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down that were given to him by God. That is the ending of the counting of the Omer on the 50th day of counting the Omer. This is also another fulfillment of Genesis 1, 9 through 13, when God established his third day with the seed-bearing trees and herbs. Shavuot commemorates the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai to the Jewish people and occurs on the 50th day after 49 days of counting the Omer. Shavuot is associated with the grain harvest spoken of in Torah. This year, by the way, Shavuot begins on May 19th, Saturday, which is on the Hebrew calendar as the 5th of Sivan, and starts at sundown. So we say it's Erev Shavuot, and the next day, Sunday, the 6th of Sivan, is the first full day and ends Monday, the 7th of Sivan. Israel was to count 7 weeks, 49 days, plus one day, 50 days, after the harvest festival of first fruits. God instructed them to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, which is Shavuot. Part of this feast involved offering to the Lord 2 loaves of bread, baked with leaven. Now, leaven symbolizes our sin nature. And remember that on Passover, which was 50 days prior to that, the bread, or like the matzah, it had no leaven. It was to symbolize a perfect picture of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, whose body was broken for us. Leaven always symbolizes the sin nature of man. The idea of counting each day represents a spiritual separation and anticipation for giving of the Torah at the beginning of the month of Sivan, around the same time as Shavuot. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they were told by Moses that after 49 days after the Exodus, they would be given the Torah, they would be given the Ten Commandments. In this time period of the counting, which they made like little calendars where they could count off the 49 days, it would be a visual sign to them of counting each day. And each day they would look inward to themselves, like we do as believers, looking to see where we need to change. How could we do things differently? Our emotions, the things that we speak, the places that we go. It was a looking inward, a cleansing of their soul each day, and try to change things, to alter the way that they would do things in order that they would be pure before the Lord, before they would receive the commandments at Mount Sinai on the 50th day of counting the Omer on Shavuot. And speaking of how we are to change, there's the story of the tares T-A-R-E, S like in Sam, tares, and the wheat. In the wheat, sorry, weeds, W-E-E-D, like in David, S like in Sam. And there's the tares, which are the weeds. They grow up with wheat, with the wheat stalks. And the farmers, they don't pluck the tares, which are these weeds that grow up entwined in the wheat, because they don't want to damage the wheat stalks. So what they do is they let them grow up together. And when it comes time for harvest, they know that the wheat, the W-H-E-A-T, is ready to be harvested because the wheat bows. And the tares, the weeds, W-E-E-D-S, the weeds don't. They stand up straight. So this could be a symbolism of man not adhering to God, not wanting to do the things of God, not submitting man's will to God's ways, but doing what they want in defiance of God. It's all about shedding ourselves, of just stripping ourselves naked, clean, and standing before the Lord in purity, in holiness, in respect for His Word, for He's given us everything. How many church people are really living according to the ways of God, according to His commandments? How many people wonder why their prayers are blocked? Why they can't hear from God? And they're still living in such a mess. Is it because they hear not the words of God? They believe not the words of God? They're still living with one foot in the world and trying to be a good Christian? It's a do or die. It's up to you. Time is short. Know where you stand. Know who you call God. And you shall live. Yeshua is the Messiah. So, as we have established that the children of Israel left Egypt during Passover, it was the 15th of Nisan. They crossed the Red Sea on the 17th of Nisan, again, which in the future will speak of Yeshua rising from the grave. From there, they traveled the 47 days. Until they came to the foot of Mount Sinai. When they arrived at Mount Sinai, God instructed Moses to tell them to purify, to set apart themselves for those 3 days. Those 3 days are significant. As we see in Exodus 19, verse 10 through 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye not go up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. And then Moses went down from the mount and spoke to the people and told them, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And there was a commandment, you must sanctify yourself. You must purify yourself. Then after that time, and the third day is also going to be in the future, the resurrection power of Yeshua HaMashiach, that will give us the power over sin and death. Three days later, on the 50th day, after coming up alive out of the Red Sea, they were told to approach the mountain. On the receiving of the commandments, it was as the revelation of God appeared at the mountain. A shofar sounded louder and louder. Was the shofar the Lord's voice? Fire was seen on the mountain. The wind roared and the ground shook. While Israel stood in awe, the voice of God brought forth the Torah. According to the Jewish tradition, God not only spoke in Hebrew, but also in every known tongue at that time. For there was not only the Hebrews that came out of Egypt, but there was a mass multitude of people, many nations of different tongues. And the voice, the divine voice, divided itself into 70 tongues then spoken on the earth, so that everyone would hear and understand and embrace that word. And you say, how could that be? And when God gave the Torah, he displayed so many untold marvels to Israel with his voice. He spoke. And the voice, it reverberated throughout the world. For sound, the sound waves, they don't stop. They just keep going and going. Sound travels and there's never ends. And the people witnessed the thunderings. And it split. So all the 70 languages were all understood by each and every person in their own vernacular. But their souls, they were so afraid for the sound and the rumbling and what they saw. And they asked Moses to please speak to God and tell him that they were afraid, that not to speak like that. And when the Lord did speak what he said to them, He said to each and every Jew individually, and even a non-Jew, do you accept upon yourself this commandment with all the Jewish law pertaining to it? And every Jew answered, yes, after each commandment. And finally, the fiery substance that they saw engraved itself on the tablets of stone. And from that time, that was the Shavuot, which is a time that commemorates, as I said, the awesome events that took place at Mount Sinai. These 49 days of counting the Omer connected the festivals of first fruits of the barley harvest to Shavuot, the beginning of the spring wheat harvest. And now I will give this over to my husband.
As Passover was the beginning of the barley harvest, with the waving of the sheaf on the following Sunday, each day was therefore counted until Shavuot, making a natural bridge between the two festivals. In addition to the agricultural aspect, there was also the historical link with the journey from Egypt to Mount Sinai. With the resurrection of Yeshua, Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Okay? So with the resurrection of Yeshua, a third thread stretches together. Passover and Shavuot, as Yeshua instructs his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they have had power poured out on them from on high. It is a Shavuot Pentecost that this is being fulfilled. Later on we'll see in Acts chapter 2, completing a work that Yeshua had begun at Passover. And in Luke 24 and verse 49, Yeshua is speaking to his disciples. And he says to them, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So here again, we see a waiting period. A waiting period. A time of 50 days. It's as though that time was a time of restoration. It was a time for God to be working in the hearts of the disciples, the 120 that were to come together. It was a time for them to, in effect, be healed of the mourning, the passing of their Lord and Savior, and even for them to be able to grasp the fact that he had risen according to the words that he had spoken. I can only imagine their emotions going all the way down into almost depression when they discovered that he finally expired upon the cross of Calvary, and their great, great exhilaration, their great joy, their great excitement when he did as he told them they would, he would do, he was resurrected from the grave, and they were able to see him, and they were able to embrace him, and Thomas was even able to put his hands into his side, into his wounds, and they believed, and they were ecstatic, they were joy-filled, their expectations were completely not only fulfilled, but way beyond that, their excitement that their Yeshua had returned from the grave and that he was alive and well, but only to hear from him the words that he was about to leave them, that he was about to go someplace else, that is, to be with the Father. But he said to them, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem, just as Moses and the Israelites tarried in the desert. It was a time of purification. It was a time of repentance. It was a time of change and transformation. And God saw fit to work upon the hearts of the Israelites, even as he provided every one of their needs for them. Every one of their needs were fulfilled during that time of waiting. But that time of waiting was important. That time of waiting was significant. And so too, oftentimes, in our own lives, is the time that we spend waiting significant. Oh yes, sometimes we can become impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we want it done our way.
Uh-huh.
Our way.
Uh-huh.
And in our time.
That's right.
The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, the end of a matter is better than the beginning, but patience is better than pride. Oh, we want it now. We want it according to our schedule. We want it according to our timing. But God says, no, you've seen the beginning. Now you must wait upon the end. And so too, the disciples had received a taste of joy, a taste of exhilaration, a taste of seeing their risen Savior fulfill the promises that he had made to them over and over and over again. They didn't want to hear about his death. And now they didn't want to hear about him returning to be with the Father. They were somewhat bewildered. They had to be somewhat disappointed. They had to be questioning themselves and each other as to what's going to happen now. Is Yeshua going to leave us? Yes, he was going to leave them physically. But he expressed to them very, very clearly that he had given them the promise of the Father. Yeshua is not a man that he can lie. Our God is incapable of lying.
Yes.
He can only tell the truth. And so Yeshua here is telling them the truth. And he says, I have given you the promise of my Father, but you need to wait for it. And you need to wait for it specifically in the city of Jerusalem. And you need to wait for it in that particular room that I showed you on the day that we celebrated Seder together, the day of Passover, the day before my crucifixion. the very room that we celebrated Passover in. That is the room, that is the place where I am going to send you the promise of my Father. And when you receive the promise of my Father, you will be endued with power from on high. Power from on high. He was promising them the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, the power that they would receive from on high, a heavenly gift that was to be given to earthly vessels, a power that would enable them to be transformed, to be transformed from ordinary men, fishermen, ordinary men, workers, ordinary men, not necessarily educated, not necessarily trained, except they followed the Master. And having spent 3 years with him, they saw him do the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And Yeshua was saying to them, now is your time. But in order for this to happen, I've got to get out of town. I've got to go home to be with my Father and sit at his right hand. And you see, that's where Yeshua is today, dear saints. We must believe that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father because that's his rightful place and that's where he told us he would be. We can pray to the Father. We can pray to Yeshua. And Abba will receive our prayers and Yeshua will receive our prayers. But we need to understand that if we are imbued with power, that power comes from on high, and it is Holy Ghost power. So just as the priesthood were offering the two loaves of bread to the Lord in the temple, God sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of his believers. Those two loaves of bread that represented the leaven of the world, the influences of the flesh, those two loaves then symbolized two prophetic aspects, one to the Jew and one to the Gentile. To the Jew, it was Israel's ecclesia, that is to the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, who today even have not seen the totality of the truth because of the leaven of the world that has clouded their eyes, almost to the point of being blind, that they have not seen the totality of God's word performed, not only in the feasts that God has given to them, but in the truth of his word, that the Torah is alive and well today because the Torah is Yeshua himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the Gentile, the ecclesia, the church that is playing church instead of being church.
Amen.
You know, some people believe, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but some people believe that if they perform their weekly obligation of going to church and sitting there and listening to the message coming forth from the pulpit.
That's enough.
That they're finished.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that they have to do. And they're kind of deluding themselves because they're believing that the church is the church.
That they're worshiping God.
Instead of that they are the church. And if we don't believe that we're the church, we're falling short. We're falling short because we need to understand that God has given us this wonderful, wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that we cannot live without. The two loaves offered to the Lord represent the birth of the New Testament believers who were comprised of first Jews and then Gentiles. We fail to recognize that the first believers were Jewish. Yeah, they were Jewish. They were Jews who traditionally grew up under the Torah, and they read the Tanakh, which is the Old Covenant. And that was the extent of their knowledge at the time, the Tanakh, the Old Covenant. And the Bible says that there's coming a day when both the Jew and the Gentile will become as one new man. And it spells it out very, very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn there with me, if you would, in your Bibles, into Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. And the Word of God says, "For he is our peace, he is our shalom, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making shalom, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached shalom to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So it is God's desire, we see here, for one new man to come about. A marriage, if you like, of both Jew and Gentile. Wendy and I have been blessed that when God put us together, we recognized immediately that he was putting together a Jew and a Gentile. How does this work? How does this work? It only works one way, because we both know and love Yeshua as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And Wendy has the added advantage that she has in the natural Jewish roots. That is, she was born and raised in a Jewish household that was somewhat religious and at least performed some of the Jewish rituals, if you like. They celebrated Shabbat from time to time. And every once in a while, spent time in the synagogue, okay? So now, she is bringing her natural Jewishness into our union, and I recognize that as a believer, that I have Jewish roots in the faith, that my God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jewish people. And that is the oneness, that is the foundation that we start off with. So I look to my Jewish brothers and sisters as my older brothers and sisters in the Lord, because they have been stewards and custodians of the Torah, of the Tanakh, going all the way back thousands of years. And when I first came to know Jesus as my Messiah, when I first came to know Yeshua, this old covenant was something that I was blinded to. I spent most of my time, quite honestly, reading the Gospels and in the New Testament. But now my eyes have been opened to see the fullness of what God has for me as a believer. And the fullness of what God has for me as a believer is that I see where my Jewish roots emanate from. That Yeshua himself was Jewish. That his disciples were Jewish. That his followers were Jewish. That Yeshua celebrated the festivals of the law, of the Lord. Not according to tradition, but according to the word of God. Chapter 23 in Leviticus. Read it, dear saints. Read it. It's theirs. It's there for you. And it's there for you to understand the prophetic significance thereof and how it all points to Messiah, how it all is a type and an example of the Messiah who's coming, but also the God who has given us of himself through the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is alive and well today because that's his gift to us. That is his gift to us, that he has given us the reality of his very, very presence within us. Isn't that wonderful? That Almighty God, omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God would allow his presence to be alive and real within us. Yeah. And because his power is alive and real within us, this power that we're talking about here, that Yeshua was talking about here, when he said that he was going to endue us with power, that's Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power is a supernatural power that he allows each and every one of us as natural, normal human beings to operate in and to flow in. What a privilege. What a joy. What excitement to know that we know that we know that we can be used of God. Amen. In a supernatural way on a regular daily basis. I mean, I'm talking about in our workplace. I'm talking about where we go to school. I'm talking about where we go shopping. I'm talking about in our neighborhoods. I'm talking about within our family circle and our friendships, relationships.
We are to be the light.
God has called us to be the light. And God has called us to be ministers of the good news, ministers of the gospel. But you would say, yeah, but Pastor Ted, you've been around a long time. Yeah, but Wendy has had a lot of training, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, but we're just ordinary people, do you understand? Just ordinary people. You know, I put my pants on one leg at a time every morning, just like every other man does. I'm just an ordinary guy. But I'll tell you something. I serve an extraordinary God who has given me extraordinary power to do extraordinary things. That means signs, wonders, and miracles, and those things are for today. Dear saints, I don't care where you go to church on Sunday. I don't care what kind of a handle you have. I don't care whether you're this or that or whatever, whatever. If you're within the range of my voice today and you're listening to this program, I want to encourage you to put aside your denominational boundaries and things that would hold you in captivity. And again, please, I'm not being condemning. I just want to encourage you in the Lord. There is more. There is more. There is more. And his name is Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh. Holy Spirit wants to indwell you. He is a person. He is not a thing. Holy Spirit wants to enable you to go beyond where you are today. I don't know where you are today, but you know where you are today. You know where you stand. You know whether you're just treading in ankle-deep water, when the water should be up around your waist or your chest or maybe up to your chinny chin chin. But you need to take that step.
Yes.
You need to say, Lord Yeshua, you promised me that you would send me the promise of my Father. Yes, I have received you as Lord and Savior, but I now want the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I want to be able to operate in the prophetic realm. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Yes, I do.
Yes.
I'm sick and tired of people being sick and tired.
Amen.
I want to be used. I want to be used as an instrument. I want to be used as a vessel. I want to be used to make a difference so that people, I can see people set free. I want to see the captive set free, Holy Spirit. I need your fullness. I insist on believing the full gospel message that today, as a believer in the Lord Yeshua, that I can walk in the supernatural realm. I don't need to have a handle. I don't need to have a title. You don't have to call me anything but Ted, because I'm just an ordinary person. But I have been operating in this power, dear saints, for over 40 years. I have seen cancer healed. I have seen people delivered of demonic influences. I have seen, even in the foreign field, God do supernatural things just through ordinary, common people. And I know that I know that I know that God wants each and every one of us to walk in Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power is for today. There's nothing in the Bible, there's nothing in the scriptures that contradicts that. But if you, the more the scriptures you read, read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an accounting of the acts of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost operated supernaturally 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Ghost is on the move today. It's only our stinking thinking that has kept us mentally in a box, do you understand? It's only our stinking thinking that has kept us from operating in the fullness of that which God has given to us. When Yeshua said to his disciples, I am sending you the promise of my Father, and you will be endued with power from on high. He meant it. He meant it. The Holy Ghost is my best friend. I talk to him all day long. He directs my steps. He shows me where to go. He shows me how to go. He tells me when to open my mouth and when to shut my mouth. He emboldens me. That is, he gives me courage from on high.
Amen.
He's a wonderful, wonderful God.
Amen.
Dave, do you have anything else to share? Well, I want to do just one thing. We're about to wrap up here today. I want to wish all of the mothers a happy, happy Mother's Day. Moms, you are the greatest. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have a mom. How's it on that? And she's in glory right now with Yeshua and the saints. But I'll never forget her, and I'll never forget the sacrifices she's made for me. And so I want to congratulate all of you moms this weekend and have a very, very happy, happy Mother's Day. I also want to shout out to my three grandkids today. Are you listening, grandkids? Lincoln Campo, Max Campo, and Mia Campo. I love you very much. You're the greatest
grandkids.
Shout out
to Pastor Gene, Pastor Donna. We love you both, and we're believing in a quick, speedy recovery, and that you will return to this radio program, and your voice will be heard again. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Allow your healing balm to be upon my brother and sister. Restore them this day. Restore them this day. Encourage them this day. Build them up this day, that they would walk in victory, that they would walk in complete and total healing. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King. Amen and amen. We love you all. Tune in next week and the week after, and we'll be continuing with the series on Shavuot and Pentecost. God bless you now. Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.